Okay, well, good morning. Thank you all for coming on time this morning. You have to get up early to change capitalism, which is what our subject is this morning. I was thinking as I got up that I don't remember where I read this, but somebody said that the certainties of one age become the problems of the next. And I think in my business, in journalism, every day people are predicting the end of newspapers or the end of journalism as we know it. And I think increasingly there's a realization that capitalism isn't working for everybody. And that's what we're going to look at this morning with some terrific speakers. So without further ado, let me introduce to you Stephen Vogel, who you met last night from Grameen America. And then Hans Reitz is also with him. He's with the Grameen Creative Lab in Germany. So, Stephen, it's all yours.
Thank you very much. Good morning. I'm very happy to be here and honored to be sharing with you the story behind Grameen America and how we may took a simple concept and we can change many people's lives, not only by providing financial empowerment in the developing world, we are also changing the way we look at creating social change in the developed world. I was with Professor Yunus recently as he commemorated the anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall. While it was a celebratory event, Professor Yunus remarked that humanity still faces a wall between the rich and the poor. Echoing his sentiments, that is the message I bring to you today. The socioeconomic wall between affluence and poverty is the next wall we must tear down. Professor Dubé asked me to introduce Professor Yunus. Unfortunately, he is not able to join us today, but I will tell you about him and tell you some of his stories and some of his successes in eradicating poverty. As social entrepreneurs, I'm sure you all know a lot about Professor Yunus. What is remarkable to me is that Professor Yunus started the global movement of microcredit with so little. He founded Grameen Bank in 1976 by making a loan of $27 to 42 people. 42 villages of poor people living in a village. Led by the Grameen Bank success, microfinance has become a global movement. Since the late 70s, Grameen Bank has disbursed $8 billion in loans to approximately 8 million borrowers. It is important to highlight that the average size loan is $250. But that's not all. Grameen employees meet with the borrowers every week in what they call a center meeting. At the center meeting, each borrower pays back interest, principal, and puts money into a savings account. That's an incredible amount of transactions. But more importantly, it is the contact that the bank has with all of the borrowers on a weekly basis. It is an amazing distribution system. In addition, the savings that have been accumulated from these borrowers is equal to 75% of the outstanding loans. This is a lot better than most of the banks that we deal with. According to a recent internal survey, 68% of Grameen borrowers' families have crossed the poverty line. The remaining families are moving steadily up as well. The most powerful measure of social impact that I've seen is through the generational impact of microcredit. I met a Grameen Bank borrower who is illiterate, but her granddaughter had opportunities that she had not had. She was educated and had become a doctor. Ultimately, her granddaughter's success was not about capability. It was access to opportunity. What brings about these generational changes? I believe it's Grameen's focus on building the confidence of borrowers and teaching financial discipline. Over the past 30 years, Grameen Bank has significantly grown to serve more needs of the poor. Today, Grameen makes education loans, housing loans, enterprise loans, and even interest-free loans to beggars. Beyond financial products, Grameen has also created more than 25 new businesses which focus on the needs of the poor. These businesses are in many different sectors, including energy, health, telecommunications, education, and textiles. However, they are only in Bangladesh, and this is where you and I come in. All over the world, people like you and me have recognized the growth and further potential of community-based lending. These people have called Professor Yunus and asked to build a Grameen platform in their country to bring about social change. Over the past 10 years, Grameen has accepted the challenges and deployed its senior management to replicate its program. Newer projects which haven't even made this map include Grameen Mexico and Grameen Colombia. Let me show the. We're going to show a short video. In 2007, the vision for Grameen America began. Our mission is to fight poverty in the U.S. and spur entrepreneurship.
One of the universities of Bangladesh. I'm teaching in my classrooms about the five-year plans where the millions of dollars or billions of dollars are to be invested to change the lives of the people. Here next door, people needed less than a dollar apiece, and there's nobody who can help them. So I went to the local bank to arrange loans for them, and the bank manager said they cannot lend money to the poor people because they are not creditworthy. I said, I'll become a guarantor and take the money to the people and see whether this is true.
Our work started giving loans to 42 people, a total amount of $27. Today it grew into a big bank. Right now we give loans to 7.5 million borrowers in Bangladesh. No collateral, no guarantee. No legal papers. 97% of them are women. And one after another loan, they change their life. They move out of poverty consistently. We can create a world absolutely free from poverty. After the Nobel Peace Prize, suddenly everybody is willing to listen. Suddenly all the doors are open, the doors that you have been banging for many, many years. Thank you so much. Looking back, the guy who lends money less than a dollar coming from Malibu telling them the importance of money. I hope to take advantage of that, this opportunity, because this opportunity may not last forever. It can work everywhere, despite the fact this is New York City. This is the capital of capitalism, capitalism itself. But still, there are things that doesn't work out properly.
we have our borrowers of this program already here. Hey! Congratulations to you. You have been in the forefront of a big, big history that you are going to make. It's almost like landing in the moon. Your small step will be a giant step for all of America. Because if your program, you make it successful, then this will open the door for many, many millions of people in this country who do not have this service from the other kind of banks. Where you will be opening this door for the rest of America. All right, go!
$6.
Dos a su puerta de ahorros. $2 to her savings account and $66 for her loan repayment.
I had two small mixes and now I was able to purchase big mixes so I could do my business on a larger scale.
Okay.
Sí.
Mm-hmm. I bought my first machine to clean the carpets. It's $1,100.
Thank you very much.
I bought
ice cream
for mine.
It's amazing how things are happening exactly the way Grameen programs work in Bangladesh and how women benefit from that and how women have been suffering because all their hard work never brought them any return because they didn't have the money to invest and carry on their thing at their own terms. Now having this money from Grameen programs, they can control their own life. They can change their own life with their own initiatives.
In Jackson Heights, Queens, New York City, in January 2008. We have expanded to Upper Manhattan and Brooklyn, and we recently expanded to Omaha, Nebraska. I don't want to say that we perfected the system, but we are getting a lot better and a lot faster. Our growth in Omaha, in 3 months of being there, we were able to add 250 borrowers, and we're quite pleased with that. Today we have lent to over 1,500 borrowers in New York City. Consistent with Grameen Bank, we maintain an exceptionally high repayment rate of over 99%, and we have the same program in effect where our borrowers have to deposit money into a savings account, and they have saved over $215,000. You see in the chart that many of our borrowers engage in the same entrepreneurial activities that you might expect in other parts of the world. We have beauty salon stylists, borrowers who sell jewelry, beauty products, and baked goods. You saw some of the pictures of some of our borrowers. It's a very simple system that we employ. We don't have complicated or expensive branch offices. We use the New York subway system as our distribution channel where our center managers go to visit the borrowers. Our office, this is our Jackson Heights office. It's a room that holds 10 people. It's a single room on the second floor. Our borrowers only come to the office for the loan disbursement. All other contact with the borrowers is at the borrowers' homes or their businesses. Shah Nawaz is a manager who worked for Professor Eunice for, 28 years. He's come to the United States on a 5-year commitment to help implement the program. We focus on one thing, helping the poor. It's a pretty simple structure. We know that if we provide services to those people who need the service, we will help them and help them lift out of poverty. The key component is to first recognize that microeconomies exist. The second is to recognize and prioritize the needs of low-income people. And if done correctly, we will have the impact that we desire. I'm sorry, I have to cut a few things short because we have a tight time schedule. We don't believe that any of the challenges are insurmountable, and we believe that the opportunities outweigh the challenges. If we get this right, we will have a national lending organization prioritizing the needs of the poor and replacing predatory lenders in scale. Second, we will create a network to extend additional services to low-income people. This might include remittances, new loan products, loan insurance, or even health insurance. As I wrap up, I'd like to summarize that microcredit can work anywhere, even in the United States, and as I announced last night, we will have a project in Canada. Key factors to make microcredit projects successful are to make it community-based, to serve the needs of the poor, to bring in the right leadership, to focus on making it sustainable. Further, microcredit is just the beginning. At this point, I'd like to introduce my colleague, Hans Reitz, who will talk about social business.